Good morning. How was the week? Good? Okay. Let's have the sharing session first. So, any opportunities that has arisen? Yes, please.
I hope this isn't too complicated a story. I heard, I want to share with you. Gunchak's going to help me. It involves some cultural things.
Uh-huh.
I realized after I thought about telling this story, if I can make it clear. Right. So this is about equanimity. So they asked the story one time, it was sort of like to test your equanimity. And the story is you go to a market, like in Delhi, they have a Sunday market to buy, you buy used clothes and you know, things, formerly worn clothes. And so you are at one of these markets or at an antique shop you go into and so on, and it's a nice gentleman selling the clothes, and he has a sweater there. And it's just your size. And it's a beautiful sweater, the colors, everything, and the finest wool. And also, it looks almost brand new, like it's never been worn. And you think, I really would like that sweater. So you ask the owner about it, you know, how much is this, and so on, and what the wool is made of and everything. You think, oh, I really love this sweater. And you get ready to say, okay, I'll buy it. And the owner says, wait, I have to tell you something about this sweater first. This sweater was formerly owned by Adolf Hitler.
Sorry?
The sweater used to be owned by Adolf Hitler.
Uh-huh. So it was Hitler. Oh, Hitler, okay. Okay, okay.
So the question is, do you still want to buy it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good deal. So like your equanimity would say, if you were really, I think the idea would be, it wouldn't bother you. I like the sweater, I need the sweater, I don't care who, well, it doesn't matter to me who owned it. But it's amazing how people go, oh, no, not me, I wouldn't put that on.
Yeah, I think that's all also coming from the eight worldly concerns. What would people say about me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's we are always concerned about what other people will think about me. You don't want to appear low and doing immoral things. You want to be seen as, you know, righteous and, you know, a good person and all this. So all this, deep down, when we really analyze that, it comes to that.
Yes, it seems to me that motivation is the whole thing. You know, every time I put the sweater on, I would be reminded of who owned it before me. And you know, and it would be a matter of, you know, a matter of that reminder, and you know, not wanting to be part of you know, someone who lived such a horrible life. So for that reason, I wouldn't want the sweater. I wouldn't be concerned about anybody else thought, because no one would know unless I told them. But I would know, and I would be reminded. So for me, the answer would be no, I won't take the sweater.
Okay. Yes.
And somebody else might buy it because whenever they put it on, they will generate compassion and love for the universe. It reminds them that they need to stop and generate love and compassion and equanimity.
Yeah, I think I shared in the class when a group of students from Israel, when they had an audience with His Holiness. So His Holiness advised to them not to forget about those Holocaust, not to forget about the Holocaust. Don't forget it and make this a reminder that you will not do such actions, cruel actions. Yeah, so as you say, it's really individual. It's up to your motivation.
I don't know if I were there at that time, but right now when I think about it, I would buy it and then remind me if Hitler was bad, but he was also, he doesn't have the control because he was controlled by ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So that will remind me, okay, he did this because of his ignorance, his not knowing. So I will not do, and I will remind myself not to hate him, but his negative actions.
Mm, his actions, okay.
I will get a reminder of compassion, of tolerance, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, but if I were in the, and then the teller tells me that, oh, this was, I will think twice.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would do, but I think I would. Right now, the thought that I had is I'd buy the sweater and I'd go on tour. because you know, there was a it's commemoration of Holocaust, you know, that just happened, and the survivors are, you know, the perpetrators are pretty much dead, and the survivors are dying. And so, and there's a lot of people who don't know what that was, especially the newer generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, especially this day and age, we've had a resurgence of, you know, misdeeds against people for no reason except that hatred and ignorance and so forth. And that's you know, it was a reminder. It's not the person, it's the deeds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
okay.
That's what. So
yeah.
I don't know what I would do. But just listening to that's what, you know, is kind of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I see that you're all trying to apply Langri Thampa's advice. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Okay. Yes,
and
please.
So much of it has to do with intention.
Yes.
What's
definitely.
Your intention?
Definitely. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, anything else? Did you get to apply Langri Thampa's advice? At the workplace or in your family?
I have one like to share.
Mm-hmm, please.
It helps a lot. last Thursday, you know, my grandson was with me, and when he was going towards the bathroom, I broke the precious ball, very good design and everything, with that, you know, topper and everything. So I broke it, you know, everything on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, I didn't expect to fall down like that and break. Then I realized that, and then, oh my God, I said, when my grandson says, oh, Grandma, what happened? Oh, I broke my this thing, you know, the precious one. It's gone now. And then he was, oh, like this, you know, kind of like, oh, you know.
Mm.
And I said, oh, that's okay. One day we will die. You know, we all have to die. It's it's just, you know, don't think about it. It's okay. It's meant to be, you know, fall down. That's okay. Nothing is permanent, and, you know, look, we have to die. I all of a sudden I thought about it, you know, like it's, you know, it's just a thing, you know, not permanent. And also I want to teach my grandson that, you know, he was so attached, you know, keep in his brain, for which helps with his, you know, life.
yeah. I think Tibetans and also Chinese, they have same this view that when this kind of a thing happens, it is like blessing in disguise. We went, it is to avert bigger disaster. That's one popular view amongst Tibetans. I think it's also in Chinese. So that kind of attitude is very good, because if you drop something and broke something, you're feeling, you know, this, what do you call it, regret, or this, the, what do you call that, the feeling of this loss. That won't bring that thing back. But if you're able to think that, oh, maybe, you know, something worse, maybe it's on its way, and maybe this would avert that. Mm. That kind of thinking. So it's called, all boils down to our attitude. Same event, but because of different attitude, the consequences is always different. Mm. Anyone?
Some lessons in impermanence, I guess. You know, my friends and I are all getting older. Last night I was at Gyuto, and everyone there is getting older. You can see the infirmities. You can see that none of us get around as easily as we used to. And during the tea break, we started talking about things that weren't right, things that bothered us, things that were not right. It was a good reminder that we all get older. And in the morning on Saturdays in the summertime, I do these training hikes with some ski friends, and we go with ski poles, and we go out in the woods, and some of it's challenging with hills. And some of the people in the group now have artificial knees, and one woman broke her wrist, Mary broke her wrist also. Last year, people broke things, and they're getting older, and we got to the top of this very long, big hill, and this one guy, Jack, was just gasping for breath, and I know that 10, 20 years ago, he would have just flown up the hill and would have thought twice about it. So I'm watching all these people age and seeing all the changes that aging causes in people and the inevitability of it. I think myself included, we all have very levels of acceptance that this is going on. But I keep reminding myself of that's when I see these things.
Okay, thank you for sharing all that. So for 2 weeks, we have gone through Langri Thampa's teachings. These are only 8 verses, but we all felt that, wow, that is not really for human beings. We felt that, oh, that is for some other aliens or other people. That is because that, let's put it this way. If we were amongst the bodhisattvas, the actions that we do, yeah, they will think that that's abnormal. What you are doing is abnormal. To bodhisattvas, these are abnormals, like self-cherishing. Whatever you are doing solely for yourself, only concerned about yourself, bodhisattva will think that, oh, that person has some problem here, need to treat. But because we are amongst ordinary human beings, to us those are like, you know, something abnormal things to do. But it is because that we are habituated in engaging in this kind of self-centered activities. That's why it is so difficult. Even hearing about it, like unbelievable, and how can a person do that kind of thing? But then we have bodhisattvas. In our own life, we have seen great beings who dedicated their life just serving other people. So this suggests that it is possible if we train our mind in that direction, it is possible to achieve. And of course, we all say that we have the Buddha nature, we have that seed, we have the seed to become bodhisattva and eventually become Buddha. So that is possible. But at the moment, we feel that that is kind of overwhelming. We think that we cannot do. So I thought that maybe last week I forgot to mention this, the relevance of this. So of course this I'm just suggesting. So I thought that maybe we can suggest it is applicable. we may not be able to apply this to all sentient beings, especially at this stage, to include our enemies and view that person as our teacher and, you know, really cherish that enemy as more precious than wish-fulfilling gem. But at least we can start from our families first. How you view your family members, your partners, your husband, your wife, your siblings. I think I mentioned before, having this kind of cherishing others, really having this genuine wish for others to be happy, is really beneficial to oneself. Remember, we talked about we all wish happiness. All the time we are looking for something to be happy about. And if we really care for other people, really care or really have this genuine wish for others to be happy, when things happen to others, good things happen to others, then yeah, there's more sources, greater sources for us to be happy. If we are only occupied with our own welfare, then that source of happiness is so small. Things may go right one time, twice. There's only one time or twice that we feel so great about. But then if you have so many people, then when good things, there's more likelihood that good things will happen to others more often because the number is greater. Then you have all these as your sources of happiness. When these good things happen to, oh, I'm so happy, happen to. This will only arise when you have this kind of genuine wish for others to be happy. So that one only arises when you have this kind of close connection. We talk about yiwong, when you have this sense of endearment. That will only arise if you are able to contemplate and reflect on the other's kindness. When we contemplate on others' kindness, how much kindness we have received from other people, only then we become more appreciative of that people. And then through that, we will develop this sense of endearment towards that person. We can tell from our own experience. If somebody has been very kind to us, we automatically wish success and happiness to that person. So what we can do is, it is best, of course, if you are able to view all sentient beings, you know, if you are able to cherish all sentient beings as cherish and view them as, you know, so precious and all this. If not, at least we can do in our own family. You can try to reflect on the kindness of the family members. How much kindness you have received from your partners, your siblings, your family, your children, whoever it is. And if we do that constantly, then our relationship in that circle will definitely improve. Because you're all the time, you know, seeing the other's kindness. When you see other person as very kind, it is automatically your interaction is different. That's one thing. So the first line, weaving, cherishing other sentient beings, we can start in our own family. And then you can extend that to your workplace. And from there, then of course, to strangers and all that. And then second line is about developing or cultivating humility. That also you can start from your family, in your family. Most of the time, our tendency is that we always pick faults of others. When we argue, what will say, oh, I am right, you are always wrong. I did more, you did very little. And you are bad, you are this and that. I am so great. That's why all this dispute arises, because you are always looking for faults. you are not looking for other person's quality. Because of that, you only see the negative side. You only see faults. So when something small thing happens, that triggers, and then you kind of are, what do you call, embellish, or then it becomes so big. All these tiny faults become so huge, and then you just focus on that. So one way to start is, instead of looking for faults, we can start counting qualities, what qualities the other person has. So if you see quality in other persons, completely different, the way you deal with that person, where you interact with that person. Yeah, I think that is also one way to go about applying these teachings. And then the final stanza is about this eight worldly concerns. That, let me share you a story. We have a friend, and he retired. And when he retired, he bought a big car, a Volvo. He already has another small car. So we are all wondering, why did he buy a Volvo? He already has another car. And then, on top of that, he hardly drives that car. All the time he is using the small car, but the Volvo is there. And he drives that only on Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year, they have this practice that you visit your relatives from your, I don't know, mother's side or this thing. It's whoever their relatives, you go one by one. So later, it's all because he wanted to portray a good image of himself, that he is doing well, even though he's retired, he's doing well, he's wealthy and all that. And that's extra cost. If you don't have a car, of course you can understand. That serves the purpose. If the purpose is only to portray that image, just additional trouble, isn't it? I don't know whether it happens here or not. Many times when you're buying a car, there's a lot of consideration. I don't know about the practice here. Even though your budget is this, you must get this one. Because you want to show that, you want to tell people that, oh, you are quite wealthy. But whether you drive a small car or big car, it will get to your destination. But you have to work so hard, isn't it? And some people are working two and a half, is it? They call it one and a half job. Full-time here, half-time there. Don't even enjoy the weekends. If not, they cannot pay all this. So why are we doing all this? And then look at all this cosmetics people go for. What do you call Botox, is it? What's that? You inject to bring that, make it look younger, prettier, and then plastic surgery. And I was told that Korea is known for that. Most of the girls look alike because they all went for plastic surgery. And those are not cheap. You have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. For all that, for what? Just to look pretty? So when you really honestly analyze our action, there is always this concern. That's what really spoils our practice. Even practicing, we do this and that practices. We do retreat. We call for this and that. And is it really motivated by, achieving some spiritual goals, or you want people to say that, oh, he does retreat, he went for retreat, or he does this practice, that practice. That also is another one that really stains our practice. And then about the third line, always confronting. And afflictive emotions, delusions have always been with us. We never see it as our enemy. Because of all these afflictive emotions, our submissiveness, or being obedient, always following.
Subservient
to our afflictions. That's why we are still here. We know that we have taken so many lifetimes, but our friends have always kept us here, never let us go beyond that. When we see somebody else, something doing something else, they say, anger comes in, hey, you should fight back, you should say bad thing, you should, you know. We do that. So that's why it is very dangerous. If we let our mind this, if we give full freedom to our afflictive emotions. So that's why Langri Thampa is saying that all the time, wherever you are, whatever time, always watch your mind. That, yeah, doesn't have to be a bodhisattva's practice. And also doesn't have to be a Buddhist practice. Just whoever, you know, wants to be happy can do that. We know that all these afflictive emotions creates a lot of problems in this very life. Anger destroys our relationships. How many times we have upset our friends and families because of anger? There will be multiple times. There will be countless times, actually. And then later you say, oh, I shouldn't have said this. It's too late. I'm just giving suggestions that, you know, how we can go about practicing or applying Langri Thampa's teachings is not something to be, oh, that's for bodhisattva's practice, or this is such an overwhelming practice. Yeah, just leave it there. It's not that. We can do that. We can apply in our life. But of course, the progress will be incremental. But slow and steady wins the race. So what we are going to do is, in relation to the Langri Thampa practice, the first practice is to cherishing others. So I thought that today we will do a bit of meditation, contemplation, and then a bit of exercise at the end. So the first what we are going to do is, we are going to do a bit of a contemplation, a short contemplation. What I would like to do is to bring to your mind. We will sit comfortably, whichever position you want to sit. We will not do the normal meditation. We will just spend some time. So what we are going to do is, you bring to your mind a significant person in your life, a person who has been very kind, who has played a huge role in your success or in your happiness or in your life. And then bringing that person in your mind, to your mind, and then contemplate, reflect on the kindnesses of that person that you have received, and then how that helped that kindness has influenced your life. So that's the first part. So let's spend maybe 10 minutes doing that, and then yeah, I will give additional instructions. The first part is just to recollect the kindnesses that person has done for you. After recollecting the acts of kindness from that person, now contemplate on how that has influenced your life. How those kind act of kindness has contributed to your life. you can try recalling each and every actions of the person and how it has impacted your life. And now imagine what would have happened if you have not received those help or kindness from that person. What would your life be without that person? Spend just 5 minutes imagining where would you be and how would your life be without receiving all that kindness. How was it? Anybody want to share your experience?
Okay, I'll share a little bit.
I thought
about my father. I could have thought about my mother or other people in my family, but I thought about my father because he's been around for a long time. He's 97 and he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course course, a parent has so many opportunities to be kind over a lifetime, you can't even begin to count all of the ways that, that they're kind. But, you know, there's all sorts of little things. You know, who taught me to tie my shoes? Who taught me to drive a stick shift car? You know, who paid for my college education? Very kind, sweet gentleman, and a lot of inquisitiveness about the world, an engineer, so he paid attention, always has paid attention to things, not so much anymore, but you know, his inquisitiveness and his desire to explore the world and how the world works influenced how I explore the world in many, many ways. Mostly good ones, not all of them. But I can't, you know, there's just so many different ways that he helped me out over the course of a lifetime. I could consider for days all the things that he did for me over his life. And not just for me, not just for family members, but for other people as well. And it's a very sweet contemplation for me to think about that, but the kind of person he is. A very happy memory. Very happy thing to think about.
I think some time ago I came across this Facebook clip whereby this when this young boy and a father saw this son was trying to learn how to ride a bicycle. So the father helps the son to, you know, help him, right? And of course, there's a lot of, what do you call, trial and error. So he's falling, but father was very patient. Oh, like, again, let's try again, all this. And then the next clip was, father was using a smartphone, so he doesn't know and asks the son. And son said, oh, you just do this. He asked again, he said, you try this, and he just ignores. So impatient. So this clip really captures, you know, when we were child, when we were young, how, you know, those significant person really showered kindness. They were so patient with us. But then when we grow up, we forget all that kindness. When the child asks, and I mean the father, of course he's an old person, he's not used to these smartphones. So just telling him one time, he won't be able to pick up. But the son, yeah, so impatient, he says, just ignore that. So that's why it is important that, you know, we have to focus on the kindness of others, even in your own family, with your partners or husband and wife or whoever you are living with. Focus more on the kindness that you have received. That will really help you kind of, ignore the other things if you really focus on that. So this kind of meditation is to help that. Of course, we only did 7 minutes or something. So if you have time, you spend more time reflecting each and every kindness and how it has impacted you. Especially when you think of, you know, imagine where would you be if you haven't received all that kindness. It's quite scary. In my case, yeah, I wouldn't be here if I haven't received all that kindness. I wouldn't be teaching here. I wouldn't be even able to speak English. So these are very powerful.
I want to contrast it. Speaking of the kindness of my child. When he was, he's getting married next month, and he's chosen for the mother and son dance. I'm going to choke up here. He chose the first song I ever sang to him. And it's a beautiful dancing. I love to dance. So it's a beautiful dancing. It's a samba and so on and so forth. And it's also from the country of origin, the father of the bride. So it's weird coincidence. Mm. But that son of mine, from the first day he was born, there was this unconditional, you know, that I could do no wrong, unconditional, you know, just sort of regard and belief and so forth. And also he taught me, you know, about the different things on computer and different things. He's a very good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know something, let's say world history, I'm very interested in that. He is too. He will expound on it for, you know, and he keeps doing that. And it's like if he hadn't been there, I saw clearly that I would be a professor. I would have had fame, and I would have had some measure of wealth and so forth. But what I have, he taught me sacrifice. He taught me to put him first, and it's that loving kindness. And he's not the only one, but he was the most significant one, because I wouldn't be here either. I wouldn't even be in Minnesota. I'd be some other world, other place, you know, other country, whatever. And and it's like, this is the most precious, this loving kindness thing. And I learned it from him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, it goes two ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Powerful, yeah. Anyone want to share? Yes.
I think over the course of your life, the people who are kind to you seem to leave an impression with you.
Mm-hmm.
That opens doors to other places. But mean-spirited people are there too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have, you know, you're always a more subtler as a child, you're more subtly affected by the negative and positives that are in your environment and how you see things. But ultimately, when I first started reading about Buddhism, and the one thing that was very interesting to me, and that is the concept of your guru or your spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And where, if you remember all the people who have been kind to you, and you see that the one embodiment is your guru, your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like all these multiple and variable qualities that you have within you towards those people that have been kind to you are thus seen in the embodiment of this being who would never steer you anywhere except for towards the light, you know. So, but one thing that happened interesting yesterday, I again did the elder monk in the monastery, and they went up and did a mandala at the library, and afterwards we went to the Walker Park. And we sat there just contemplating, just sitting, looking at a cherry,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the park there. And he had to relieve himself, so we slowly walked over to the restrooms. And they had two doors to the restrooms, and they're both non-gender doors, meaning that anybody can use them without distinction. And we were waiting there because both rooms were occupied. And two women came out of this door, and I proceeded to move again in that direction, and he absolutely said no. And instead of trying even to try to communicate to him at all, I just waited to the other door open. But I was laughing inside because there was an equanimity going on. And then I realized, you know, that we have these distinctions, you know, and yet really they don't really hold much water too, you know, at the same time. Anyway, that's my and I think you are led to people that through time and space, like Endon's been very kind to me in my life and given me an opportunity to return that kindness to a human being. But I always, when I'm with him, I always think not of him, I think of a greater other, rather than, like we were talking last night about self-power and power of others and power of self, and I think it's more of the other power that you receive from other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Anyone? Yes.
I want to share, in the form of a human being, and the person that I think changed my life, and who I am today, I won't be here today even, as the Dalai Lama. When I think of his kindness and his dedication to all human beings, and especially the Tibetans, as a refugee, how I grew up in the school, boarding school, without parents, seeing parents for 10 years, but with his blessing, we were able to survive without even departing, apart from your parents for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
People say that without family or parents' love, and the child turned into aggressive, some kind of thing, but we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So, thinking about this and during the school and how kindness because of his health blessing, and then on top of that, not helpful in this world, but I'm thinking about my next life as well because of his teaching. It was 12 years ago when I first, we pray all the time in school, or when I was in the military, I pray 2 hours every day without knowing anything, but just reciting. But 12 years ago when I first listened to his teaching on at Tsobema, the four seal, we used to come this four seal in the exam, I write it and I got has, but I don't know the name of the fourth seal. And listening to that fourth seal teaching, it was in Tsobema, so there are so many Himalayan people who doesn't understand Tibetan well, so he tried to explain. So I listened there for 7-8 times, and then I thought, oh my God, this is the fourth seal. Oh my God, this is what it is. So ever since I get into the deeper meaning of what the Buddhist and what the teaching is, so then I start listening and reading, and that get me to where I am today. I mean, in terms of interest, not I am not there. And then I, about 5 years ago, I read this the book Nekshit Losar Mijibha, Dalai Lama's. I read this for maybe 7-8 times and start, and then try to understand that that book has all the essence of Buddhist teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So and then there is one stanza that makes me understand the meaning of emptiness, like the kanshi kya la kya ba te ma kya, tala kya wa ranshi kya ma kya la ra la khandil tomba shi, kanshi tomba shi ba ya. So I can't translate in English. I will not be do justification if I try to say in English. So that makes me, that clicked me a little bit from the, in terms of interdependent, then make me more, in terms of understanding, make me more understanding about the interdependence and the emptiness. So these have changed my life, changed my way of thinking to other person, my anger or the perception definitely changed from 10, if it's a rating 10, it changed from 1 to 8 or 9 perception, in terms of perception. Otherwise, you always view the other person as a fault, other person as doing something bad.
Mm-hmm.
But now this has all changed, so that's
mm-hmm.
my
mm-hmm.
contemplation was about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yes, Casey.
Mine's a little different.
Mm.
I had a father who was really very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was not close to him. I
mm-hmm.
was close to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up doing things to prove to him I could do them. And this went on into adulthood. And I would have to say, if anyone asked me, I would say, I don't like my father. And my brother also went away and didn't want anything to do, basically, with the family. My father, as he became older, became a little less harsh,
mm.
but I would always pray, please let my mother not die, and please, if anyone has to die
mm.
first, let it be my father. I was fearful of,
mm.
of
mm.
having
I
to be
mm.
with him.
Yeah.
So my mother died,
mm.
and my father, that day, it was unexpected, nobody knew. Chuck and I got on the airplane, and we went. And he was sitting all by himself in his apartment, and, it changed something within me.
Mm.
I saw some real hurt. So after that, realizing I'm the only daughter,
mm.
the only child, I knew I had to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And even so, I would visit him every 6 weeks, and my two children would help me, and they would go down on holiday so that he was never alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the important thing, that he was never alone, and I was always there. And he became ill, so I took a leave from my job, and Chuck was wonderful. He supported me, and I went and lived with my father to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, because as I took care of him, the more I became to love him.
Mm-hmm.
The closer we became, the more I cared and had to do things with him, the more our love built, to where I could say he became my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really talk. We didn't talk about the fast. We just sat together in that mutual love.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come back to Minnesota, and I was awakened in the middle of the night, and I said to Chuck, I was there only for 2 days to do some business, and I woke up and I said, oh, you know, I must have some really acid reflux. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. And 2 hours later, they called and said my father had a heart attack 2 hours earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realized, you know, he had so much significance, because I, you know, had a lot of anger towards him over the years. But once I started caring and taking care of him and seeing him change,
mm-hmm.
people can change, and it totally took away, you know, when he died, I just had total love for him.
Mm-hmm.
All the years of anger or
mm-hmm.
I realized detached from that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wow, that was an incredible story. Mm. Any more? If not, we will have our tea. Yeah, okay. Let's have tea then. Mm. Okay, for the second part, actually I had prepared a slide for today's class, and my laptop has been not behaving well.
Has been what?
Not behaving well. So I did the slides on, I think, on Thursday, and then, yeah, last night I started my computer, and it refused to start, and it says something needs to be installed. And this happened before, a few days ago. And so I had to do all this. So that actually, you need to backup from that. You lose all that. But there is something called time machine on the laptop itself that will back up. But I don't know how frequently it backs up, but the time was short that it didn't back up that part of the slide. So this morning is too late to redo. So let's see whether I remember. So the first part, we try to recollect the kindness of the significant people in our life. So, and we try to develop a sense of appreciation, and that is supposed to help our relationship or interaction with those significant people. And I think definitely it will help. But of course, at the moment, you focus on one person, but we are supposed to extend that to other significant people. We have many significant people in our life. So then, yeah, you will, especially if you are having difficulty with a person in your family, and try to recollect, that person must have done some kind of, you know, kindness to you. So you think about it and how it helped. That will help you to reduce your, this, I don't know, this animosity or whatever it is. So after we have done that, that is not enough. That is very, what you call, biased kind of a sense of endearment or compassion or whatever you call, because you are only spotlighting one group of people. But we need to extend that further. We need to extend that beyond significant people. So this second part is what we are going to do. So you all got piece of paper, and if you need ball pens, I have extra. So what we are going to do is, we will divide our life into maybe three or four segments, from the age 1 to 10, in between 1 to 10 age period. Period, you know, from 1 year, when 1 year to 10 years. So during that period, you may have received kindness from other people, not significant people, but strangers, like your school bus drivers, like those cleaners or janitors, all this, or nursery teacher, your school teacher, whoever you have received. So you, from age from 10 to 13, you try to recollect, or you can focus on one person and then see, list, you know, the kind of kindness that you have received from that person, and then how that has kind of affected your life, how that played a role in your life. That's the one time period. And second, then after 11 to maybe 30 years in between, you may have come across many kind people. So during that time, yeah, same kind of contemplation, reflect on any person whom you have received kindness, and then, yeah, same thing. And then the final one is from 30 to 50, and then 50 to now. Or if you are too young, then, yeah, only three. So this, you just write down and try to remember. Some of you have to go back to your school days, you know, your nursery days or whatever, and then write down and see as much, as many as possible. And write down and list all the kindness.
I'm not clear if, because I heard you say just now, as many as possible, but earlier I heard you say one person.
Yeah, so either you can focus on one person and as many kind acts as possible.
Okay.
Or you can just focus on, if you have some, then you can focus on that. Whichever is easy, and whichever you find it more effective and powerful for you. the goal is to really remember as many as possible. if you are done, let me know so that we can continue. One more minute. I like this because I don't have to do anything. I can just rest. Out of curiosity, did anybody write down the name of, not really the name, write down garbage collector as? None of you? Imagine what would happen without the garbage collector. We don't really think about it.
I do, because one time I went to I was living in Baltimore, and I was in an area that in the middle of the street, it was by the harbor, and there was a market, and there was a garbage collectors strike, and I had gone to out of state to celebrate my graduation, and I came back to the garbage strike, but it was right at the farmer's market, at the market there were fish and seafood, and it was in August, and August in Baltimore is stinky hot. And I can tell you what it was like, because my apartment was like right there, you know, it's like right there where the house is. I could smell it, you know.
So imagine if we don't have those people working for us. Normally we kind of look down on those garbage cleaner, you know, garbage collector. But see how important role they play in our well-being, our life. First of all, of course, it's the comfort. Secondly, it's the health as well. So these are supposed to, you know, we are supposed to think then, only then we will realize, oh, these are important people in our life. Normally we only focus on those family members or who give you some this and that. We don't see beyond that. Okay, now that you have written down, if there's time, we will have a sharing session, if you are up to. So now what we will do is, so choose you have written few peoples, obviously, you have chosen. So choose one person, whatever you have written, that person. And then, yeah, as we did before, we will spend some time reflecting the kindness of that person. And then, you know, how it has impacted our life, how the role of that person's kindness in our life. And then we will conclude. Once you have finished that, and if you, once you have generated kind of appreciation, then also, it's a bit too much, but we can try that. Bring to your mind the person that you have contemplated before, the significant person. Bring all together, and then try to really generate this sense of endearment, affection, love. And then genuinely wish them free of all sufferings and causes, and then genuinely wish them, you know, happiness and causes of happiness. So we will conclude with that. First, you try this, and then I will ring this, and then you bring the significant person as well, put them together, and then have this, generate this affectionate love as well as compassion. Okay, let's do it. So now that you have listed all the acts of kindness, it would be easier to really go through each of the acts. And it is also helpful to think about the inconvenience they experience. For example, garbage collector, they have to come very early. So some garbage collector, the garbage truck, they come at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. So they have to wake up so early so that, you know, they don't inconvenience us. Now bring both together and then generate this loving kindness as well as compassion. Bring to your mind as clearly and possible as clearly as possible, and then really generate this genuine wish for that person to be free, or first free of suffering and free from the causes of suffering, and then wish them happiness and all the causes of happiness. Contemplate on it until you really have some real kind of a feeling within you. Some people may experience your hair rise, kind of have goosebumps. Try to do that until you have that kind of sensation. You can mentally say that and say with a feeling, you can mentally recite, may they be free from suffering and its causes. May they be happy and have the causes of happiness, until you feel some sensation or feeling within yourself. Want to share your experience?
I'll go first again. Well, it's been a long time since I was 10 years old or younger, so my memories are very faded.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how I have some memories that I've retained, but I was remembering Dan the barber.
Mm-hmm.
And in our neighborhood, everybody knew Dan. Everybody went to Dan to get their hair cut. He had usually one or two other barbers working with him, but everybody wanted Dan to cut their hair. And he cut everybody's hair with a great sense of good humor and sociability, and he treated everybody the same, the kids, the adults, absolutely everyone, and talked in this very thick Italian accent. If you don't cut your hair, it's going to fall out. That kind of thing. Yeah. And for years, everybody went to Dan. And then at one point, he had a heart attack.
Mm.
And I remember I was old enough to be a school crossing guard at the time. And I was at this one corner when he lived down the street. And I remember him, after he was recovering from his heart attack, walking very slowly and with a lot of difficulty up the street. And I was just really relieved and glad to see him,
mm-hmm.
and you know, really wished that he would get well. And he never really did recover. He went back to work for a little while, but then he had to retire. But I remember him very fondly, and how he, for absolutely everybody, was so welcoming and gave everybody haircuts. You know, and if you forgot your money, it was okay. Come, go home and get the money and come back later. Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal in those days, you know, no credit cards. And one haircut was, you know, significant for him, but that was okay. And if one of his barbers screwed up, he'd fix it for you and say, it's all right, you don't have to pay full price for this. You know, he just would make it right. And he was always, you know, trying to do the right thing, and just a very... just a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. I just remember him very, very fondly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Anybody? Yes.
If I plotted on a chart what I wrote down, what I would see is that kind of bell-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm young, I didn't have that many significant people.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I became an adult, then I have more significant people. But now that I'm older, I see it coming down.
Mm.
Coming down not in terms of fewer significant people, but I think it's because of one hears teachings, etc. It makes it harder to isolate just a small group of people who are significant, because so many people are significant. I didn't think of the garbage collector, but I have a soft spot for road builders and construction workers, because back home in Malaysia, 95 degrees temperature, and they're working in the heat so that I can stay somewhere, and I can drive on the road. So it's harder just to confine it to loved ones, because I rely on so many more people. So they have become also significant. So I think that's why my chart sort of show a decline.
Thank you. If not, we will conclude. Before we do that, next week there's no class here. Just a reminder. Next week, yeah.
So begin the dedication prayers with the short mandala offering first verse on page 4. And then the concluding prayers beginning on page 6.
Joje medo dama de ra leje nyende jemba de sanje jendo mede bewaye dogun namda jela jebara jo rana mendala gana ya da ya me ay Rimbo je ma je pa na ke yo che ke ba nyam ba me ba ya kone gondo pe wa sho. Jetsu na me.
Kudze Chedara Chemba Dang Kundu Sambu Deyan Tejende Teda Kunji Jesu Dalo Je Gewa Deda Damje Rabdo Ngo Gewa Damje Ye Ngowa Kangla Chodo Ngaba De Taye Kewe Tsawa Degun Sambu Cheje Rabdo Ngo Wara Ye